All right, let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 5. But let's just go back and also read and read this text first, like we did the other night. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll read that is a text, and then the main text will be in Hebrews chapter 5. But before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, and Lord, we're so grateful to be in Your house, and we're thankful for the prayer and the preparation that the church has put forth, the desire for this meeting. Lord, we do know that we are a needy people, and we pray that You will help us as we've gathered together tonight. You'll speak to our hearts. Lord, we want Your Word to be work effectually in our hearts and in our minds. And we pray that there would be a real application of it in our lives. And Lord, that this church would be better than it's ever been before because of the contribution made by the church having this meeting. And we pray that if there are any lost here, they'll be saved, and that Your children will be very humble, receptive to Your Word, and responsive in a way that will bring glory to Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, which we all immediately think of a worldly church, a carnal church, a spiritually weak church, a confused church. He said, "And I, brethren," here's a problem. There's a big problem here. He says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now I want to deal tonight a little bit with a real problem in churches, and nobody feels it more deeply than the pastor or the Sunday school teacher. It has to deal with this, and it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse every year. But Paul really is underscoring this problem. He said, I want to speak unto you as unto spiritual, but I can't. In verse 2, he says, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." The frustration just bleeds out of these words. He says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" You see the way they were thinking, the way they were talking, which manifested the carnality, the shallowness of the people that Paul wanted so much to speak to. Now let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. And here you find the same problem being addressed. And when you think about this, your heart just goes out to the man of God here who is writing these words. He's so much concerned about this situation. In verse 11, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." See, they've stopped going forward and they've started going backward.
Right.
Verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use," and this is so important, "have their senses exercised." We've never needed this more than we need it today. "To discern both good and evil." Please be seated. Now this passage right here deals in its context with the ministry of the Word of God to people who are not spiritually in a position to receive it as they should. That's what it's all about. Now, these Hebrew Christians here were being taught some wonderful and some weighty things. We need the weighty things. We've got to get to the place where we can receive the weighty things. A Christian has got to progress to where they're able to receive weightier and weightier and weightier things. In verse 10, Paul is talking here about things that are wonderful and weighty things. In verse 10, Listen to this. He's speaking about Jesus called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's not something for a newborn believer. But it is getting on a level now where the people who have been around for a while as Christians ought to be able to receive the weightier things of the Word of God. Now, these Hebrew Christians weren't bestirring themselves to learn these things and to make progress. And as I said, you can see it's all very frustrating to the men of God here who are involved in the preaching and teaching ministry. One of the big reasons to preach a message like this is so that churches will understand more and more about what the gospel ministry is all about. What the goal of the preacher is, not just the pastor's goal, is not to have fun preaching. That's not his goal. Real pastor's goal isn't to get stuff for himself. The real goal of a pastor is to see the flock of God learning and growing. That's why you see what you see here in these passages. And these things right here are very recognizable and they're very relatable to anybody who has preached or is teaching or pastoring. Boy, can this really rings a pastor's bell. And I'll go, and I'm including anybody who ministers the Word, Sunday school teachers. And I want to preach on this from three angles. There's a threefold, I think, natural division in this passage, verse 11 through 14. And in these verses, our attention is called to three things. The first thing is a burden. There's a real burden mentioned here in the first part of verse 11. And then you can't help but notice the writer, and I believe it was the Apostle Paul. As I said, it doesn't matter that we know who the author was, the writer. We know that it's God's Word. But there's somebody, and I think it was Paul, who was a preacher and a pastor and a minister. And he's something is coming out here about himself here. He's recognizing a barrier. The reason he has a burden in the first part of verse 11 is because he recognizes this barrier in the second part of verse 11. And then in verses 12, 13, and 14, this section is speaking about, calling our attention to a blessing in connection with the Word of God. If I had a title for this message, it would be Confronting Carnal Christianity in the 21st Century. Amen. The messages that I've preached thus far in this conference have just kind of trying to lay a little groundwork for the main messages on the development of a sound, strong spiritual mind. Amen. But these messages are all about why we need it. Now let's look at these three things as quickly as we can. Number one, there's a burden being felt here in terms of the ministry of the Word of God. Any real God-called pastor, anyone who ministers the Word of God, feels a burden. A burden for their work. You'll notice this as you read through the Bible. The Old Testament prophets, they always were beginning what they said, the burden of the Lord. Amen. The burden of the Lord is their burden. Amen. And so you see it right here. Paul says, of whom we have many things to say. You know why he's so burdened? It's right here in the text. Paul's burdened because his whole burden centers around and is centered in the subject of what he has to say. It's right here. Of whom we have many things to say. Of whom? That's the key phrase there. Of whom? Whom does he have many things to say? Of whom does he have so many things to say? Well, you have to go back to the preceding verses and you see that he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's of whom he has many things to say. In verse 7 and 8 of the preceding verses, he talks about the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, His cross. We have so many things that we want to say about that. In verse 7, He says, "Who in the days of His flesh..." How touching is this? "When He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, tears and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered." Amen. Here is His burden that He feels. He feels something. You got to feel something about God and the ministry of the Word and the people who need to have it and who need to get it. And of whom, He said, we have many things to say. In verse 9, He goes from the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ to what He has provided. He says, "And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation."
Amen.
A lot to say about that. And then He goes on in verse 10, and He talks about His priesthood. In verse 10, He says He's called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. How deep and profound is that? Amen. I wish I had time to get into that a little bit more about that mysterious figure. The King of Salem, the Prince of Righteousness. Nothing said about any lineage that He had. The type of Christ that met Abraham. Amen. Back in the Old Testament. Paul prayed this prayer for the Colossian church in Colossians 3 and 16. He said this. This was his burden. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Amen. The word of Christ is what we need. Not the word of man. People desperately need the Word of Christ. There are many things to say from the Word of God. Let me just re-emphasize again that there's so many things to say from the Word of God. How in the world can a preacher or a teacher feel honest about it when they present so much that is not about Jesus and it's not about the Word of God? And they take up preaching time and teaching time to talk about things that have nothing to do with this. You know what their problem is? They don't have the right burden. You got to have a burden to get the message of Christ out. The message of the Word of life. Hold that forth. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord." Amen. Christ Jesus, the Lord. Not just our fire escape, but our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1 and 23, he said, "But we preach Christ crucified." That's who they preached, Christ. "Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Amen. How about preaching Christ?
Amen.
Years and years ago, I went to pastor a church where I spent the first half of my preaching, pastoring ministry, and they had had a pastor there for about a year and a half, and he would get up and give little witty sayings and strum his guitar and lead people in responsive readings and things like that. And he got up one Sunday morning, and he said, and before him there had been the founding pastor, who was just an old-time Baptist preacher of the Word.
Amen.
One morning he got up, and there's a woman in that church. She was there when I got there. And the first thing I noticed really took my attention. The first time I walked in the building, there was one of these padded lawn chairs sitting about two rows back, right in the middle. It had a middle aisle. And I thought, well, that's interesting. It was sitting right out there almost in the middle of the aisle. Well, there was a woman there, and at the time, her name was Sister Bailey. She was about 90 years old. And they had to help her, you know, get her to church and get her up into that lawn chair. She had that white hair all pulled back, straight white hair, tied in a tight bun, pulling her forehead back. And She apparently had been sitting for a year and a half listening to this. And one morning, I guess she had all she could take. And the deacons were telling me about this. They said one morning that that pastor got up and he said, "Well," and that's the way he said it, "what shall we talk about today?" They said Sister Bailey straightened herself up and just as loud as she could, she said, "How about Jesus for a change?" Amen. 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 We need that old woman's message today. Amen. To a lot of preachers. Amen. How about Jesus? Amen. How about the Word of God? Amen. What a novel idea. Preach the Word. Amen. Amen. There's pressure. And what we're talking about here about this burden is there's pressure on a preacher who wants to communicate to his hearers how sublime Christ is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. He is sublime.
He is.
Yes, and we may not have oratorical skills, but there, all we've got to do is preach and quote the Bible, and it will tell and broadcast and declare how sublime the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift Him up. Amen. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We've got to get back to preaching Christ.
Amen.
This psychological nonsense today, this manipulative stuff going on in Baptist churches. How about getting back to preaching the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no mistaking about it that Christ has been preached when you've gone to church.
Amen.
1 Peter 2 and 7. Peter said unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious.
Amen.
Amen. He is precious. There's pressure on a preacher who wants to communicate the sublimity of the Lord Jesus Christ to his hearers. There's a real burden here. He's conferring a pressure that is on a preacher with Christ in mind who wants to communicate to his hearers how significant Christ is. Here's what I mean by that. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One Lord, one Savior of mankind. And His name is Jesus. Amen. He's our Savior. That's how significant it is. He's our Savior. He's so significant because He's our sovereign.
Yes, sir.
He is our King.
Yes, sir.
He's significant in that He is our shepherd.
Yes, sir.
We're like sheep with a propensity to go astray.
Yes, sir.
We have a shepherd.
Amen.
And His name is Jesus. And He's our friend.
Amen.
I tell you, there's nothing more significant than having a friend.
Amen.
I've been fortunate to have some good friends. I remember one time sitting with my old secretary in Michigan. At that time, she was probably, maybe she was in her late 60s, and we'd have different talks and talk about the Bible. And one time she said, if we have 4 or 5 real friends during our lifetime, it's probably above average. Last week I went up, she was 91 years old when she died and preached her funeral. And with all of my heart, I meant it when I said, if she wasn't my closest friend, my best friend, she was right up there at the top. Amen. There's nothing like a real, true, blue friend. There's something beautiful just about the definition of friend. What it means to have a friend. But we have got a friend that is greater than any friend we could ever. He really is our friend. Amen. I'm glad He's my Savior. I recognize Him as my sovereign. I want to follow Him as my shepherd. But thank God He's my friend. Amen. He died on the cross for me because He was my friend. They put Him in a tomb and guess what? My friend had victory over death and the grave. He's our friend. Amen. Just before He left, He said, "I'm coming back. My friend, our friend is coming back." Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Can you see why Paul is burdened to get this message out? Because of the subject of the message, who is Jesus, because of His sublimity, and because of His significance.
Yes,
amen. Amen. There's another reason that Paul's burdened. And that's because of the scope of what he had to say. Not just the subject, but the scope of it all. In verse 11, he said, "We have many things to say." Now, he's burdened about two things here when it comes to the scope. The scope. You can see it right here. It's right there in the text. He's burdened because of the truth. Burdened about the amount of truth that needed to be communicated. Now, oh, for 1,000 tongues and oh, for 1,000 lives to communicate all this truth. That's the scope involved. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24, Paul said, "But you've not so learned Christ." Amen. "If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off." You haven't begun to learn anything until you've begun to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You do know there's an artificial holiness, amen. A put on holiness, a superficial holiness. But we need to learn. We haven't learned Christ until we learn something about true holiness. John, boy, I got to be careful. So many, I'm not saying careful about what I'm about to say, but careful, I don't want to take up too much of my time. But we have been hurt so badly for decades with a preaching about a holiness which is not a true holiness. All outward, all show, lending itself to a Pharisaical attitude. But we need true holiness.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I can really relate to this. When it comes to this scope involving how much truth, he's also burdened because of the amount of time that he had to communicate it. I'm at the stage of my life right now where I think back a whole lot and think, how much time have you wasted? Amen. Such a great message to bear. Such a need for it to be communicated. And so little time. Amen. If we live longer than the average lifetime, it's like the dew that comes in the morning and it's gone before noontime. Amen. It seems like it's no time until we're flying away. Amen. Until our little life's tale, we've turned to the conclusion. And Paul's burdened about that. About the time that he had for this truth to be communicated. There's so much for him to say what needed to be said and so little time for them to hear what they needed to hear. I mean, this speaks right to a local church.
Yes, sir.
I know that you have a pastor here that feels this way. There are other pastors here tonight, no doubt, that feel the same way. Sunday school teachers. Man, you just wish if we could only have one time. I was thinking about this morning. When I got saved, I didn't have any church background. My grandpa was a Pentecostal preacher, but we were never around or anything, and it's probably a good thing. But I remember when I got out of the service, and 6 months later, I went into that little storefront church I told you about, and I got saved. When I got saved, Brother Sutton, I kid you not, everything was so new to me. I thought to myself, why do we only have church here two times on Sunday and one time on Wednesday night. And I was, in my newness, I was thinking, why wouldn't people want to be here every night? Talk about naive. Amen. But see, that's how the mind works right after you get saved if you haven't been messed with.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Paul said this to the Galatian church. He said, my little children of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And he could tell when Christ is being... You can tell when Christ is being formed. Brother Ronnie mentioned last night, you can see the grace of God. Barnabas went up to see if all of these reports about what was happening, the souls being saved, and all, if that was really true. And he went up there and said, when I had seen the grace of God. Now, Paul's using language here we can all relate to. He says, I'm travailing until I can see Christ being formed in you.
Amen.
Amen. You know what I'm talking about? When my wife got with child, nobody knew it, but before long, everybody knew it. Or had strong suspicions. See, a pastor likes to have strong suspicions when he's looking at people in the church that Christ is really being formed in them. Amen. It'll show up. If it's really going on, if there's life, it'll show up. Let me hasten to this. Paul goes on and says, not only do you see a burden being felt here, but you see a barrier being found here in terms of ministering the Word. And there's a twofold problem. Paul's utterance and the Hebrew Christian's understanding. Paul was aware of the reality of the challenges that there are in preaching and teaching the Word of God. And there are challenges. And he mentions one right here. He mentions the reality. Verse 11, the latter part, Paul said the things that he had to say were things hard to be uttered. A pastor has to say things that are hard to be uttered. There are many reasons why things can be hard to be uttered. I mean, you know what, you can fill in the blanks yourself. But there are some things that are hard to be uttered. Sometimes simply because they're so profound. And other times because they're gonna really... Somebody said to me just last week, boy, I can remember at the funeral, 40 years ago, he said to me, 30 years ago or 35 now, he said, you used to really get on our toes. And this is what I said to him. I said, my aim was never at your toes.
That's right.
It was at your heart.
Amen.
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 Who cares about toes? What do you mean, stepped on our toes? Great Scott. Excuse me for that. In 2 Peter 3 and then verse 16, the Bible's talking, Paul, as in all of his epistles, Peter said this about him, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. There's a barrier there. A pastor is preaching things that are really hard for people to understand. Especially if they're not where they ought to be. They had a problem with comprehension. These people he's writing to in Corinth, and here these Hebrews, they had a problem with comprehension. Amen. They had a problem with comprehension. There's three types of hearing loss. I read this in a book, in a Gray's Anatomy. There's conductive hearing loss, and there's sensory neural hearing loss, and then there's mixed hearing loss. Now, one of these types of hearing loss is it's just not coming to you. In other words, if there's noise in the background, your ears get to where you can't hear if there's some kind of noise in the background. You just can't
You just can't hear. In other words, sum it up two ways. Some people's hearing is poor because it can be muffled. Amen? And sometimes a person's hearing can be muddled. It's muddled when there's interference. And oh boy, are there not a lot of things interfering. Paul put it like this. He said, there are so many voices. I want to just say this. There are so many opportunities to listen and learn the information glut and all kinds of things from billboards to internet to this and that. We do not have time for all of that. We got to make the main thing the main thing. Paul had a problem. Where their comprehension was concerned, he had a problem with communication. It was hard for him to explain truth to them so they could understand it in their condition. In their condition. He found it difficult to lead them to a higher apprehension of the truth. Amen. That's why people don't understand a lot about separated living. It's not something just superficial. It's not just a hobby horse that a preacher is riding. If people understood this, they would understand the truth in what I said last night. The reason we've got men and women, this bathroom controversy and all of this kind of thing and cross-dressing and all of that is because God's people did not see the deeper, weightier meaning and importance of maintaining the separation, a visible separation of the genders and glorifying God and glorifying in what God has done in and advertising and flaunting. I'm a man. I'm a masculine man. And I don't want there to be any confusion about that. That maybe I wish that I could have been born in something other than a man. And so I'll slither into somehow, I'll do something to satisfy my inner urge to be a woman. Amen. There are clothes for men and there are clothes for women. Amen. I want to tell you right now, I mean it. I've been around long enough to hear enough preachers rant and rave and spit and all of this about dress and pants on women and all that. And then I see how their wives dress. Amen? Amen? Now, either people like that have no fear of God or they don't really believe in God. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Paul was aware of the reasons, not only the reality, but the reasons for these challenges. And it's right here in verse 11. Moving on, he said that some people are dull of hearing. They just are. They sit on the same pew. They've been in church the same amount of time. They're about the same age. They got the same number of kids. Economically, they're about the same. They sit on the same pew in the same church for the same amount of years. One family is really getting it. Their kids are growing up to love God, to reverence things that ought to be reverenced. They're soaking it up. They're making progress. Over here on this side, this family, I'm not pointing anybody here, they're as dumb as a stump. They're not getting anything. The only rise you can get out of them is if they get offended about some little old something. They've been in church the same time. Why? One is dull of hearing, and they can't get it. You say, whose fault is it they're dull of hearing? It's their own fault.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Now, they have spiritual apathy developing in themselves. They become. Notice this one word here. He says, you have, in time, he says, you have become such, verse 12, latter part, as have need of milk. You become that way. You might be the most spiritually attuned person here tonight, but listen, you can become such as have, you can become a baby. Have you ever had anybody in your church that seemed to be mature and then they start,
after years, something came up and they started acting like a baby. It can happen. That's why we have to practice that good stewardship of our minds. Amen. Think of that parable of the sower. All of that seed, the same seed. Spiritual apathy can develop and spiritual atrophy. If you don't use it, you what? You lose it. You lose it. That's why preachers need to constantly be studying.
Amen.
Amen. Not running around picking up little notes and ideas out of sermons that they hear and polyparroting them.
There you go.
Amen. For their own sakes,
amen,
as well as others.
Amen.
Spiritual atrophy. Let me close with this. You know why Paul is so burdened? And he's so conscious of this barrier? Because he's also confident, conscious of a blessing and a benefit that's being forfeited in terms of the ministry of the Word. In verse 12, he says, "For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." Here's what was happening. They had disqualified themselves from being able to render service to God. That was being forfeited. To be able to serve God. But to disqualify your own self, that was a burden to him. When he's seen this blessing being missed. And not only that, but these were people he's talking to in Corinthians and here in Hebrews that had disabled themselves from being able to receive strong meat. They had become such as had need of strong meat. They couldn't handle it. Here's a real warning against digression. Amen. Nobody is in neutral, gets in neutral in the Christian life. You're either going forward or you're going backward. Amen. And if you're picking up some momentum going forward, you can. When you start going backward, you'll pick up momentum too. Amen. And you'll be shocked. People have been shocked, and I've been shocked to see how far people can fall. And here's another blessing. This is so needed. Paul knew it. And that is in verse 14, the discernment. Verse 13, the discernment. He said, "For everyone that uses milk's unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." See, he can't teach anybody else. He can't serve. And here's something that is really, really bad. He doesn't have any discernment. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Boy, we'd better be able to discern today. And I'm telling you this. One of the glaring manifestations, examples of how little discernment there is in a lot of Baptist churches is people can't even discern a man of God from a hireling.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
They can't even discern a man of God from a two-bit wannabe actor or stand-up comedian.
Yes, sir.
Amen. No discernment, brother.
Right.
Why are all these things happening to so many churches? Because of a lack of discernment.
Right.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you this before I sit down, because I just looked back and saw some young kids. Some kids. You young people have as much responsibility to this church and to be discerning and to grow and pray for that pastor as your mom or dad or any grandpa or grandma here.
Amen.
Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
Amen.